Shake up dinner time at Whole Foods Market with bold flavors. Now through the 25th, shop the Fire Up Asia sales event in store and online. Don't get takeout. Make your own stir fry with sales on organic baby broccoli and leafy greens, Whole Foods Market Kitchen's marinated meats, Momofuku sauces, and more. In a hurry? Look for sales in the sushi department or bring home savory Indian cuisine from the hot bar. Kick dinner time up a notch at Whole Foods Market.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, with me this week is Harriet Parsons, the psychotherapist and the training and development manager at Bodywise, to talk about, Harriet, I guess when kids maybe first come to us with questions about their body, about their weight, about their image, is there an age bracket when this first kind of rears its head?
Oh gosh, I have been hearing of younger and younger kids being aware of their body and being aware of their size and coming to parents with questions. And not only questions around their own body shape and weight, but also questions around how they're eating. So, I mean, recently on our family support program, I remember a couple of comments from parents of kids who are like 10 and 11 restricting their food. Kind of on purpose, not finishing their meals and not eating properly in school. And I was in a school recently, a secondary school, and the teachers were saying how it's quite commonplace for the young people to not eat anything during the day, and that kind of not having breakfast was a thing that they all say, oh, I don't eat breakfast. I'm not hungry in the mornings. So I think I'm hearing more and more of that kind of comments. So I think there isn't necessarily an age. Obviously, puberty is an incredibly difficult time for young people. Our bodies change. We're not in control of it. We don't necessarily understand it fully. We might know the biology of it, but how it feels in your body is something new for young people. So yeah, I think people are becoming aware much younger. And then obviously there's all of those kind of adolescent years where it really becomes an issue.
And does it tend to manifest itself, or how does it get onto the radar of parents more often than not? Is it that they notice behavior changing, or is it that a son or daughter will come to them and ask maybe a question? You know, am I skinny? Am I fat? Is this food healthy?
Both. I think all of those things happen. So I think you will get questions around, am I the right size? And whatever way they manifest, am I skinny? Am I fat? Am I too big? Or I'm bigger than the other people in my class, or those kinds of questions. And then parents do start to notice changes in how their young people are eating their food. So maybe in schools, they might be talking about healthy eating, or they might be doing projects around certain eating styles. And those questions then start to come home. And I suppose you'd start to, you know, all of those questions are normal and fine. You start to maybe worry when they don't kind of pass, when the project is over, or when things start to stick.
So you don't want to panic when they come home and ask these questions.
No. The kids
are curious and they're learning about body shape and size. Absolutely. They're going to ask questions about it.
Yeah, and we live in a world where we're bombarded with images of other people's bodies all the time. So I think that we can't avoid it, and we can't hope that it's not going to happen to our young people. They are going to come across it. You know, if you look on social media, how much of your social media feed is full of lifestyles or body shapes and types. You know, my social media feed is probably completely skewed because I talk about eating and sizes and things like that all the time. But I think it's probably there no matter what your kind of activities are. So you would start to be worried, I guess, if those kind of ideas start to stick. And what I would say is that the most important thing is to have open lines of communication. You want young children and young people to come to you and say, I have a question about myself. I have a question about, am I okay? So you want them to be able to come to you and say, Mom, you know, am I skinny enough? Or Mom, do you think I'm too big? You want there to be that trusting, open communication where you can then explore that question with them.
Yeah.
And where you can be curious about why that question has come up in their head and what are they seeing or what's happening in school or amongst their friend group that that question is suddenly coming up. You don't want that question to be in their head and not spoken aloud, because that's when it can become influenced by things that you don't know about, and that's when, you know, all of those really distorted ideas can start to kind of take root. I suppose I would think about them like weeds.
Yeah.
And we don't want those weeds to take root. We want to be able to pull them up quickly. And how we do that is by having open communication
and
within the family.
That question you suggested asking them, where does this come from?
Yeah.
How important is that to try and, why are you asking me this now?
Yeah. So to be curious.
Yeah.
Not afraid. Don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, as I said, I heard from teachers last week that they're kind of terrified of addressing things around size and food with young people because they're afraid of saying the wrong thing or someone being very sensitive. And they're just, you know, and it happens in the world that we're afraid of saying the wrong thing. But with parents, I would say, don't be afraid of it. Just be curious about it. Wonder about it. And that way you encourage open discussion with the person, with the young person, about where that idea is coming from. So you don't want to dismiss it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it comes to food as well, I'm conscious sometimes the trap we'll fall into as parents is, you know, you're trying to encourage healthy eating, so you start kind of describing foods as bad foods. This is bad. That's, you know, that's bad for you. You'll be as fat as a fool if you keep eating, get your head out of the fridge, you know.
Yeah.
And we kind of say it, our parents said it to us. You maybe you don't think anything of it.
Yeah.
Possibly problematic, some of that.
Yeah, it can be problematic. And problematic, I suppose, because we now are influenced by the whole world of, you know, the weight world and the dieting world. So we now...
Yeah, my parents said it to me. I couldn't take out my phone then and kind of get sucked into Instagram or TikTok and feel bad about myself.
Exactly.
You just have to go outside.
Yeah, exactly. And also probably your parents were probably... helpful role models, because they also weren't in that social media world. So they're probably very sound and that kind of reality check.
Mm.
Whereas nowadays we're all influenced by it. So in terms of food and, you know, healthy or unhealthy food, it's more about not putting food into categories of good or bad. Food is just food. Food is food is food. And you want to try and get young people to start to focus in on themselves in terms of listening to their bodies. So what foods make you feel better? What foods maybe, you know, don't? I mean, when you eat certain things, maybe you have a sugar rush and then a sugar crash. What foods kind of give you loads of energy so you can kind of do all the things you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking about food not in terms of good or bad or healthy or unhealthy. You're thinking about, well, when you're really hungry, what does your body tell you it needs? So connecting to your body instead of connecting to rules that are outside of yourself. And I think social media really does that to us. It kind of comes in between our instinctive understanding of ourself, and it gives us something external to measure ourselves against. And of course, when we have something external to measure ourselves against, especially in the weight industry or the diet or even the healthy eating industry, we often come up short. And then it's that space in between what we imagine the right way to do something is and how we compare ourselves. That is the space in which kind of distorted thoughts and distorted rules start to take root. So that's that. It kind of breeds what we might call a normative discontent with ourselves, that we're not good enough. And so we want to try and avoid that. And the way we avoid that is by building resilience in young people, that they can... listen to themselves, they can trust their own hunger cues, they can trust their growing bodies. We want to focus not necessarily on what they achieve, but on the attributes they have. So shift our values away from appearance to, you know, what they can do. in the eating disorder world, we talk about affirming the effort rather than the outcome.
Yeah.
That can be a really helpful way of boosting a young person's self-esteem. So it doesn't matter maybe what mark they get in an exam. What matters is the effort they put in.
Yes.
And that kind of can be applied to loads of different areas of a young person's life.
Harriet Dizon, thanks a million, as always, for joining us. Harriet Parsons, psychotherapist, training and development manager at Bodywise.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.